Thank you, Jan. Today, we are going to be studying on wisdom. But before I start, there's going to be a little shift in the outline of the classes. Melinda was going to do gratitude. But because of the sleet missing and Melinda and Lori traveling, we're going to move marriage up, and then gratitude will be after marriage. So that's just a little update on our outline of what we're going to do. But wisdom will probably be two classes today and Wednesday. So today we are talking about wisdom. Our objective today is to develop attitudes of being involved in searching God's word for every answer. I have a handout. Oh, y'all, did everybody get a handout? Okay. And then I've got the verses that aren't for today's class on a separate sheet, but they are for you to take home and study, because I agree with Cindy, what she said last Sunday about Proverbs is my go-to, you know, for things. So I wanted y'all to have those verses since we're studying from wisdom in Proverbs. The wisdom that comes from God is necessary for a meaningful and godly life. For this reason, we must eagerly search after his wisdom, because gaining wisdom is not easy. It comes to those willing to learn and apply what they learn, even when it's extremely challenging. Let's turn to Proverbs 4, 5 through 7. Proverbs 4, 5 through 7. And if somebody would like to read, that's great. Proverbs 4, 5 through 7. Okay, go ahead, Cindy.
Give wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom and whatever you get insight.
Thank you. Wisdom comes mostly through three avenues. The first is godly instruction. This will help transform a person's thinking, give spiritual insight that enables us to recognize and avoid evil, and to understand what it means to know God. A personal relationship with God is the first step in obtaining true wisdom. Secondly, it's godly devotion. Wisdom is for the person who sees value, seeks it with determination, and is willing to hold on to it. The wise person learns from instruction, from godly discipline, accepts God's commands, and listens to the godly advice of others, and treasures wisdom. Ecclesiastes 1:13a says, "And I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven." Thirdly, godly living. In order for wisdom to have its proper effect in our lives, we must put it into practice. Knowledge, even about God and his purposes, does not become wisdom unless we apply it. Only when we live what we learn from God, often through difficulty, do we begin to understand God and what it means to follow him. So I want you to think about whom you could go to that will give godly advice whenever you might need it. Someone that God has blessed you with in your life. Would anybody like to share someone or a situation that this is the case? Did you raise your hand, Donna?
I pointed to Kathy.
Oh. It is priceless. So Donna said, trusting a godly friend, having that go-to person that you can, whether it's a mother, whether it's a close friend, whether it's an older woman or a younger woman, just because you're younger doesn't mean you can't have wisdom. Anybody else? Dana?
And sometimes you can go to somebody, you know, like a sister in Christ that you may not know them that well, but you realize they have been through what you have just gone through, something new. You know, if none of your friends have gone through X, you know, this person has, and then maybe you can even become friends or get their advice and counsel on how to handle it.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Like what you just said basically is help somebody else that's been in the same situation you've been in, but you haven't normally been close or known each other that well, but you've built a relationship in God. And that brings you wisdom and comfort. So, excellent. Anybody else? Okay. The dangers of, let's make sure, I think I skipped a page. There we go. Okay. Next, we're going to look at the danger of ignoring wisdom. Let's turn to Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. It's a lengthy reading, but if anybody would like to read it, that would be great. If not, I will do that. Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. Heather.
Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her saying. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm, and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel, they spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely, and shall be at ease from the dread of evil.
Thank you. Before I move on to my next point, I just loved how last Sunday Melinda taught on the heart, and then Mark's lesson was on the heart. And this morning, I thought he was going to step on my lesson when he went to Proverbs 1 and started talking about wisdom. So it was actually a good lead-in to the lesson today. But isn't that just wonderful to see God's providence working in our lives? So Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. In this text, wisdom here is crying out to stop and listen. Wisdom is asking, how long will you love being simple and hate knowledge? Those that wisdom is crying out to are refusing to listen. No one will heed wisdom's words. They are ignoring and will have none of wisdom's counsel. So the result of not listening is that wisdom will laugh at their calamity. It will mock them when their problems come. Wisdom won't be there to help when you find yourself in trouble if you don't get it. There will come crossroads in your life where problems arise, and we'll need to know the answers. The question is, are those answers going to be provided from God's word or from man? Are we going to have the biblical wisdom we need to deal with these problems? Or are we going to suffer the consequences of our choices because we ignored or hated knowledge? This text applies to all facets of life and all ages we are in life. If we are not biblically prepared, we'll be asking what went wrong. If we are too busy to study about being a godly woman, then we will certainly reap what we sow. We should never let work, family, activities, school, the list can go on, from studying God's word on this subject. So, what are some ways, some routines that have helped you make sure you remember to study God's word throughout the week? Yes, ma'am?
Writing sticky notes, just little reminders, Bible verses, to just, you know, put it in your car, on your mirror or something when you fold it down, just to see something that reminds you, oh, I need to, you know, pray. I need to read a Bible verse or just talk to somebody about God.
I love that. Writing sticky notes, putting it wherever you go so that you'll remember. Kathy, did you raise your hand?
Daily Bible reading.
So you do it twice, in the morning and the evening. That's excellent. Kathy said daily Bible reading in the morning and in the evening. And they do it together. You know, that's great. Ted and I have, we do the daily Bible reading separately, but we've taken on a book in the Bible each month. And, of course, some books will be longer, but we started with Proverbs, and we did that all through January because it had 31 and 31 days, and we're doing that together in the evenings. Any other suggestions? Yes, ma'am?
I just have some things that work. I have a word kind of the week,
mm-hmm.
and that has scripture with it, and that just kind of helps prompt me to remember throughout the day to to me, that's helpful, is that visual. I love the sticky note.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Melinda gifted me with a little desk that has scriptures on it, a desk. I don't know what you call them. Ornament, whatever it is, but it has daily words on it that have scriptures that apply to it, and having that there in front of your face, it just triggers you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
I listen to Mark's podcast on my way to work.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's yep. That's what I used to do as well whenever I worked outside the home. I would listen to my daily Bible reading on the way to work. I'd be in prayer on the way to work, you know, as well. Because you have that time in the car, you know, and it's just valuable time that you can utilize. Beverly?
I do with friends. There's the Bible apps, and you can use different studies. And you can include friends in it, and we have a few friends. There's a couple here.
Yeah, it does. I do that too. So yeah, that's great. Yes, ma'am. I hear you. I am too. And I love that point about even just prayer. You know, some people, me, when I was younger, used to think, okay, you need to pray at meals. You need to pray in the morning. You need to pray. But no, stop and pray all day long. That's part of getting wisdom. Be in prayer about it. You know, it's the things you learn as you get older and grow too. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you. Good comments. Proverbs is telling us here in chapter 1, 20-23, is telling us to get wisdom now. Most tend to wait until there's a problem. Then we want to crash course in wisdom on how to fix it. God is telling us here in Proverbs 1:24-31, that wisdom doesn't come in that fashion. We have to prepare for life before there are issues in our marriage, with our children, with our parents, whether our parents as a teenager, or our parents as older people with them in their 90s, there's problems. And you have to prepare for those. Your friends. How about your jobs? You have to get wisdom about those things now. You can teach someone to navigate a ship in the middle of a storm. You can't teach someone to navigate a ship in the middle of a storm. You'd have confusion, fear, and chaos. The time to learn is when things are calm, and there is opportunity. The time to get wisdom is the same. Get it now when things are calm. We have the opportunity. We can with confidence study and learn to get wisdom while there's no confusion, no chaos, and emotions getting in the way. When was the last time you made a serious examination of what kind of Christian woman you should be? With the intent of whatever changes are necessary to be done. If we choose not to learn how to be a better Christian woman today, somewhere along the way we'll pay for the consequences of our ignorance and the mistakes that we make. This is the warning of Proverbs 1. As I said earlier, this principle applies to every area of your life in our spiritual life as well. At any age we are. So, what is wisdom's answer to those that choose to listen before any problem arise? Let's look at verse 33 again. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster or without fear of evil. That's the answer to getting wisdom. Notice it's not if problems arise, it's when problems arise. Are we going to be equipped to handle those problems because we have armed our minds and our hearts with God's answers before the storms hit? Again, we must with confidence study and learn to get wisdom when there's no confusion, no chaos, No emotions and no pride getting in the way. See, no matter our age, when we become accountable to God, He holds us responsible to learn how we are going to conduct how we are to conduct ourselves in every relationship we have in life. Get wisdom now before the storm hits. Can any of you give me examples of where we need to get wisdom before a situation arises? Randa?
I think for me, just with my own experience, of really reaching out to some of the other women that I've seen go through experiences that I've gone through. And if I know it's a situation I don't feel comfortable making the decision for, or Samuel obviously is struggling with making a decision, we go to people that are older than us that have gone through those experiences and trust and value you know, what we see in their daily walk. And I think that's really helpful for us. You know, my parents obviously prepared me for, but we still want, you know, scriptural guidance.
Right. Excellent. Yeah. Getting that scriptural guidance from someone that you can trust that will lead you down that path to God. Excellent. Anybody else?
I think about emergency drills. You know, in businesses and schools, they have drills. You know, we drill for a fire. We drill for a disaster. And when you look at our lives, that's going to happen in our lives. We're going to have a financial problem. We're going to have a health problem. Someone we love is going to have a health problem. And so we need to try to gather up what we're going to do when that happens so we're not caught by saying, you know, I thought I lived in this perfectly, you know, in a bubble. We don't live in bubbles. No. Bad things can happen. So, and if you're not prepared for it, if you don't have a foundation, you can fall apart.
Yep.
So looking at other people, that's how, you know, Kathy Goss handled this, and, you know, that might happen to me someday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of working through some situations and not looking at life that you live in a bubble. You don't live in a bubble.
Right, right. We have to live in this world. Yeah, good point, Donna. Thank you. Anybody else? Hilda?
I want to add to her comment. Also, communication, you know, a lot of us have our kids, and so I think it's also a point where we have to prepare our kids to what could happen, what may happen, so that way it doesn't triple on them and they panic. So something I've learned.
Yes, excellent point, but I'd like to carry it a step further. Communication to our kids, but also communication to others, kind of like what Miranda was talking about. You know, you have to keep that community. You can't keep it in. You need people. That's why God established the church, because we need each other. You know, and you don't need to live on an island. You need to seek others. That's part of getting wisdom. Be careful who you seek. We'll address that in a minute. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Higher. I almost didn't see you. Yes, ma'am. Jean, sorry. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes all you gotta do is look around.
Yep.
You know, and whether it's at your own life from previous, or at the lives of others that you do deal with day to day that may not be Christians, mm-hmm. You can see the mistakes. You can see the lack of wisdom that they chose to make those same mistakes.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent, Angela. Yeah, excellent. Seeking wisdom. Yes, ma'am.
For our family, we have tried really hard to practice contentment because we don't know what is going to come up. But like Donna said, we know that something will come up. So if we just know that we need to be content in whatever situation we're in, it helps when you get to that moment of not freaking out. You know, like it helps just dealing with it because you know you're going to get through it, and that just kind of gives me, I don't know, a lot of comfort, I guess.
Right, right. to Mark's point in his lesson too. Contentment. Contentment where you are at. That's part of getting wisdom. Anybody else?
Well, I think, too, when we're really young, first married, have our first child, we really have no idea the things that will come up in life.
Yep.
I mean, you see a few things with family, friends, but you have no idea the circumstances that you'll find yourself in. And it's just good to try to be prepared, but you're not going to always be prepared. And then when you're not, or when you feel like everything's out of control, have that one person that you can always rely on, that's going to have your back, that's not going to judge you, and just say, you know, you need to take a deep breath and let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Because there's just a lot that happens in life.
It does.
Not
it does at every stage and every age. And I think that's very key, what you're talking about, and we've talked about it several times, is having that person. Because that person can lift you up, that person can pray with you, that person can provide wisdom. But again, it's key to make sure you find that right person. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil companions corrupt good morals. So we need to be careful who that person is, but find that person. You need a person. You know, so good points. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, when you're preparing yourself for wisdom, you're also preparing to be that person for someone.
Oh, excellent. I love that. Good, Sherry. Yep. Did everybody hear? When you're preparing to be for that wisdom, you're preparing yourself to be that person for someone. So, yeah, very well said. Okay. Now, let me find where I was at. next point. We need to attain wisdom so we'll be able to be in a position to give counsel. Will our counsel be good or wise? Good and wise, or bad and unwise? There may be an occasion when you're asked to counsel someone. The question is your counsel such that it will help them or hurt them? Are you willing to live with the counsel you give them? But even more importantly, are you willing to die and face God with the counsel you give others? Let's turn to Titus 2, 1 through 5. Titus 2, 1 through 5. And if somebody would like to read. Kathy? So, older women in the class, what advice would you give to younger ladies in our class? Something that you may have had to learn the hard way. Irene?
It's hard, I think, when you're young. But when you're having problems, don't shut yourself away from other people. Don't pretend everything's fine. Because you will multiply your problems. If you are willing to go and talk to someone, they can help you with your mistake. And you don't keep doing it over and over. You're learning.
That's excellent. Did everybody hear what Irene said? Very good. Thank you, Irene. Anybody else? Go ahead.
You have to be willing to listen to, because you're not going to always like what's being said.
Yep.
And some things are going to be really hard to hear, but if it's the right person, again, you know you can trust them to be honest, and that's the most important thing, is being honest, because that's where the real growth comes in.
Right. And I love that you pointed that out. But it's even hard to hear from somebody you're super close to as well. Melinda?
I was just going to say, to know, kind of going on what Irene said as well, life's
Mm-hmm.
Life can be very enjoyable and wonderful things happen in our life, but I think we just need to remember life's hard. You know, God wants us to experience these things knowing that we have someplace better to look forward to and that we're going to go. But while we're here, not putting everything we have into this life because it's hard and it'll disappoint. So kind of knowing that, but reaching out to people, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. It makes that life hard easier. Yep. Tracy?
Well, sometimes in life, I feel like God sends us hardships so that we learn those lessons. One of the things that I've taught my boys and try to look at my own life is, if you learn that lesson the first time, you're going to get to have it again.
Yep.
So, you know, do seek that wisdom and try to figure out what it is he's trying to help you develop and learn and see your own faults so that you can become better.
Right. Excellent. Oh, sorry. Y'all do your hands. I have no worries in it. Sorry, Dina.
That's from Mark's mom. Not all situations. Some things in life are really horrible and hard, but some that are less difficult, maybe, it can be your spin on it or how you talk about it.
I love that.
You know, we went to SeaWorld one time. The kids were little. It is pouring down rain, you know, but we didn't dwell on the fact that, oh, this ruined, we ended up leaving early, or we were cold, or whatever. We just had a blast, and then we talked about it like it's the best time ever, and hopefully that's what it is. Or you go to, whatever, you go to Disney, and, you know, the Peter Pan ride's not working, you know.
Yeah.
So we just steer them away from the Peter Pan ride, and we just talk about how wonderful, you know.
All the other stuff.
And, like I said, that doesn't work in everything, but a lot of it can be, like, I think it was pretty, if I got the voice right, was talking about, you know, contentment and all that.
I love that. And I guess to the point is what is your outlook? What is your attitude about every situation in life? Is it the glass is half empty? Or is it the glass is, what is it, half full? Is the glass half full? You know, are you going to look to the positives and find the positives, you know, from a situation? Because I think in every situation, no matter how horrible they can be, you can find a positive. And I'll use Dina's example of a health issue, or I think that's what you use, but of a health issue that is just a horrible diagnosis possibly. But look at the people that are praying for you. Look at the people that come to help you. You know, look at the doctors that you get. I mean, is that gonna solve the problem? No. Is it gonna make it easier? Probably not. But it's gonna help. It's going to help knowing that. Anything else?
I'd like to.
Yes, ma'am.
whenever I have older daughters,
mm-hmm.
and they'll say, Mom, you know, this, that, that. So I will give it, and it'll be hard for them to accept and take. And then they will, you know, they withdraw. And so I keep telling myself and reading the scriptures, don't bend, because, you know, you love them with all your heart. You would, you know, die for them. But what you told them and taught them because you learned it from God is like, don't bend.
Right.
And when they keep begging you, don't do this to us, Mom. You know, it's hard.
It is hard. And that's part of what Melinda's talking about. Life is hard. And sometimes it stays hard for a while, or maybe a long while, longer than we definitely want. But the key to what you just said was, you're not bending. And part of that not bending is getting wisdom, being in God's Word, being in prayer. Yeah, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
One day and happened to overhear a snatch of conversation, and the people of our together happened to be father and daughter, so he was willing to just tell her what it was like. And he was telling her, she was claiming that the program was wrong, that she was trying to work on it. And he's like, you can be 100% sure and still be wrong.
Oh.
And she's like, I am 100% sure I programmed this right. And he's like, you can be 100% sure, still be wrong. And there's this effect called the Dunning-Kruger effect, that we tend to overestimate our competence in whatever, or whatever skill you're talking about, especially it's more pronounced the newer you are at it, but it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
So I think even once you've studied something, you always need to be open to the possibility that you're wrong or you need to modify it.
Right.
And plus, on top of that, life is always changing. So what was right 10 years ago, not like right as in God's word, but
right.
What's the right decision in your situation, you've changed, people around you have changed. You just need to be open to the idea that you need to constantly think about your decisions and see if they're actually still the right decisions.
Right. I mean, my 96-year-old dad told me one of the last couple of times I visited, he said, I'm still learning and I'm still changing my what I thought. You know, so it is, I mean, he's 96 and he's still learning and growing and changing. And so it's an excellent point, Amy. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am?
Following up on what Dina said about attitude,
mm-hmm.
I think we underestimate our influence, especially on our children or immediate family, that we convey to them by our attitude. We can make this trip wonderful. We, you know, and that's all little kids will remember.
Right.
But I mean, it sets a basis.
It does. It does. I mean, and it's not even just trips. It's big stuff. What is your attitude in how you're handling a job? What is your attitude in how you're handling a friendship, a health issue, a marriage? You know, they see that. Kids see it, you know, and so excellent. Yes, ma'am? There's nothing like having that person to go to talk to look in the face. Again, that's why God established the church. You need that person. You don't need a phone to look at. Now, don't get me wrong, they can be helpful, but they can cause discontentment. They can cause discontentment. So Proverbs 24:6, turn to Proverbs 24:6. For by wise guidance you can wage war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. We need to be conscious that if we give counsel, it is right and biblically based, like we've all just talked about. Next point, we need to study and attain wisdom so we don't blame God. I'm going to start out this one with, do you have some examples of when someone you know has blamed, or yourself, has blamed God for their problems? Or for sin in your life?
I have had a person in my life that had a car wreck. And they, unfortunately, their best friend from childhood was the one that, you know, didn't make it. So in the hospital room, she was crying and saying, why did God do this? And I said, you need to not ask God why this happened. You need to ask God how you can handle it and get through it.
Yeah, yeah. I worked with a teacher when I was a paraprofessional that hated God because she said, I prayed to God once to save my mom, and he didn't do it, so I'm never praying to him again. You know, I mean, it's situations like that. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
People tell me that that's why I couldn't get pregnant. It was because God didn't want me to have children. Especially when you're hearing it from other places, that can be really hard to struggle with.
Yeah. Be careful. Again, what kind of counsel are you going to give?
Sometimes people get it when you didn't ask.
Well, that's true. And that's when you have to take that wisdom that you've learned and go to that one person that you have and say, can you believe what they said to me? You know, I mean, because you need that support. And yeah, that's huge. And I've been guilty of it, and I'm sure I'll be guilty of it again, asking that question that I shouldn't ask or saying that statement I shouldn't say. I think we all have been guilty of that, and we just need to be conscious and grow of not doing that, because it does hurt, you know. Anybody else? Okay. I had another example. I've known people that someone's died unexpectedly, and they blame God. I had a cousin that blamed God because her baby passed. You know, he's an easy person to, he's not a person. he's easy to blame because you know, it's kind of like work. When you go to work, you're on your best behavior. You don't blame people for things and stuff. But when you come home, your husband and kids get it all sometimes because you just had everything, because you know they're going to be there for you. You know they're going to love you. And that's God. We know he's always going to love us. But there are times in the Psalms when David just wailed on God, you know, and God listened. And God answered prayers for him, and God was there for him. So we need to realize, too, that we can do that, and God will be okay, but be respectful. you know what I'm trying to say, I think. Let's read Proverbs 19:3. Proverbs 19:3. So here, again, it's sometimes our own actions, and we still blame God for it. It's what we did and the consequences of what we did, and you blame God. No, God forbid. So this is very true, but again, it's when a person's ignorance and their own mistakes ruin them, they want to rage against heaven, they want to blame Almighty and their problems for their problems, and they even blame others. When it's their actions that happened, that caused it. We have to remember God's ways are very good. Our problem is we get in front of his plan. We get in front of him. We, in essence, defame our Creator because we do what we want to do. When is class over? 10:30? Okay, so our next point is going to be proper attitude. God's word has all the answers. So we'll start on that Wednesday because it's like 10:29. So thank you, ladies. Y'all's comments were so good and just very helpful, and I appreciate y'all's participation. Oh, did everybody get some scriptures from Proverbs?
And I'm sorry, we had copier issue.
Oh, did I not print enough?